Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Hi, and thanks for joining me today on this episode of Thrive, Not Just Survive, How to Live from Within. We've been looking at how everything is energy and all energy is connected. Now, some people would say, well, what does that have to do with spiritual life or grace? It has everything to do with it, because all of nature, everything you see, all of the universe is part of God's work. It's part of God's revelation, if you will. And so it's very important to understand what it is God's trying to say to us through it, just as we look at the scriptures. The fact that everything is energy means we are connected to everything. All things in the unseen, because all things are in Christ. All energy is connected. In other words, there's no energy outside of what's called the unified field. All energy is connected within that field, and that field is what we've called Christ or Christ consciousness. Therefore, every person you meet, you're connected to, because they're made of energy just like you are, and they're connected in that unified field just as you are. So all of it is what the Apostle Paul says, in Christ Jesus, if you will. We also talked about consciousness being non-local, and that we are all connected in this unified energy field of Christ consciousness. No one has their own consciousness. Our consciousness is based, if you will, in the divine life or Christ consciousness. So it's outside of our body. Our brain is a receiver, a processor, a storer, but our consciousness is connected to this unified field, this field of energy that is this Christ consciousness. We then discussed the electromagnetic spectrum with all the different varieties of light waves, such as visible light, which only makes up like 0.0035% of all the light that's out there, infrared light, UV light, microwaves, x-rays, and radio waves, as well as gamma rays. These are all light. Now, light is made of photons, which are basically very small energy packets that have no mass. These light packets of energy travel at 186,000 miles per second, if you can imagine. Very, very fast. Now, we want to discuss that because we want to understand better the revelation that God has given us through the universe He has created. It's very important, because that is going to help us better understand not only scripture, but our life in Christ. So then why is this important to your spiritual maturity and living in grace? Well, because revelation is continuous. You have insight and knowledge the Apostle Paul doesn't have. We talked about that in the last video. You have insight and knowledge the Apostle Paul doesn't have. He didn't know about the electromagnetic spectrum. He didn't know about consciousness being non-local. He didn't understand light waves. He doesn't understand particles and things of that nature. He didn't have any of that. But you do. God has allowed revelation to be continuous. And so today, 2,000 years later, you and I, we have information He didn't have, and we're responsible for it because it supports us in our spiritual walk today. You see, what happened back then is back then, but what happens today is today. And we need to work within the framework, if you will, of what God has given us today. These insights are given to us to grow in greater awareness and higher consciousness of who we are, who God is, and who others are, and the reality that we share all things together in this unified field, in, if you will, Christ Jesus. Paul really, you can't understand Paul's theology if you don't understand what it means to be in Christ, all things in Christ. If you don't understand that, then you're going to get confused a little bit about his theology. Because the Apostle Paul, while he didn't fully understand what that meant, he knew it was true. And so he wrote about it often. And he, to the point that he told the Christians in Corinth, all things are yours. Well, why? Because all things are in Christ and Christ is of God. He told this to the Romans. But from him and through him to him are what? All things. And he told it to the Colossians that all things are held together in Christ. It's, you know, it was just a very foundational part of what he believed and what he taught and how he lived. He didn't see himself as being somehow separate from Christ or separate from God. He was one in the divine life. And that's very important, because to come out of the old covenant is to leave the ideal of separation. And to come into the new covenant is to come into union and oneness and the reality of our oneness, if you will, this source of all life. So what I want to do today is I want to transition then to discussing how your focus shapes your reality. To do this, though, we need to delve deeper into how the universe actually works. So we're going to look at something very interesting, which is called the double slit experiment. It's really one of the most famous quantum physics science experiments that's ever been conducted. And I think you're going to find that it has a lot to do with what it means to live as a spiritual person and to thrive as a spiritual person and not just survive. That light and atoms help us understand how the universe works. In other words, light, if you will, and particles. As we said earlier, light is made of energy called photons. These light photons have no mass. They're just energy. Particles, such as atoms, have mass and are made of neutrons, protons, and electrons. Yet when these photons and particles are measured or observed, they behave similarly. It's interesting. Their quirky behavior will give us insight into the general revelation of God's creation. As we examine this behavior, it's going to help us understand a little better about the universe itself and how God has created it. It also helps us to know the importance of where we place our attention and our focus. Extremely important. And finally, the power of our thoughts and our emotions. Because those two things, and even also, I'll just say this, the things we say, which usually come out of the things we think. So what we think, what we feel, what we say is extremely important because generally where we give our attention is where we're focused, it's how we're feeling, and it's what we're saying. The double slit experiment is a peek into the strange world of particles and light. It was first conducted in 1801 by Thomas Young. However, it was conducted again in the early part of the 20th century by Albert Einstein and by Niels Bohr and other scientists seeking to understand better how not only light and particles work, but the underlying, if you will, principles of quantum physics. Imagine you have a wall with one slit in it, and you shoot little balls of light, photons, at it. They go through the slit and hit the other side, making a pattern resembling the slit shape. I'm going to put some drawings up here to help you with this as we look at it. So far, so good. It is as you would expect. So here you see the light source, the slit in the screen, and then there's another screen behind it. And here we see a single slit pattern. And this is what we would expect with a single slit. Then the experimenters wanted to make things interesting. So they added another slit next to the first one. And if you shoot light through these two slits, something unusual happens. Instead of just making two patterns, the light starts acting like waves at the beach on the back screen. It creates what's called an interference pattern on the other side. Bright and dark stripes like ripples from water waves overlapping. So, as you see there, from the light source, it goes through those slits, the two slits, and then it hits the light, the screen behind it. And there you can see the interference pattern. Rather than just having two slits, it creates an interference pattern. If you switch from light to electrons, very small particles like tiny marbles, and shoot them through the two slits individually, they should make two lines on the other side, like the slits, but they do not. Over time, these tiny particles also make a wave-like pattern, just like the light did. However, something strange happens when you try to watch which slit each particle goes through. In other words, they're going to observe where each particle goes through, which slit in that screen do they go through. And something very unusual happens when they measure it, when they look at it, when they observe it. Okay, keep that in mind. The wave pattern on the back screen disappears. And each particle acts as though it goes through just one slit, one of those two slits. Each particle acts like it goes through just one of those two. There's not a wave pattern on the back. It's as if the particles somehow know they are being watched and they change their behavior. You see? I'll put this up there and this is what it looks like. The particle source hits those slits. And when they're being measured, when they're being observed, they create a double slit pattern. When they're not being observed, they create an interference pattern. The same is true for light photons when they are observed. So both light photons and particles act like waves and act like particles. In other words, they act like light and particles. The light has the interference pattern, but when it's measured, it acts like a particle. This experiment shows that light, which has no mass, and particles with mass can behave like particles and waves. It's as if they are playing hide and seek with us, acting like particles when we watch them and showing their wave-like side when we are not looking. Okay, that's very important. Very important. This change in behavior due to observation highlights a fundamental aspect of the universe. Measurement affects the behavior of light photons and particles. It's what's called the observer effect. When light or particles are observed, when they are observed or measured, it impacts their behavior. Okay? This phenomenon informs us of reality's nature. Our observation plays a role and the relationship between particles and waves. Okay? So why should this be important then for a spiritual life, for a spiritual person? Well, God's universe responds to your observation and attention. What these scientists found out was that at the most minute level, when you observe, when you give your observation, when you give, you know, when you focus on something, it fundamentally impacts the outcome, because something that at one moment is just a wave collapses and begins to behave based on the measurement and, I believe, your intention. It's almost as though the particles and the light know they're being watched. They know they're being measured, observed. Now, that's a little crazy. That's a little weird, but it is the truth. It's the truth of the matter. What this tells me is that your observation, where you place your attention, impacts the final outcome, impacts how all of this comes together. We are, as the writer of 1 Corinthians said, Paul, we are co-creators with God, or we are co-laborers with Christ. And this comes from the inner life of the Spirit, not through our self-effort. It is as we co-create with God from the inner life, okay, that we begin to manifest into the external world. And all of this has to do with where we place our attention, thus our focus, thus the outcomes in our lives. You see that? We manifest into the external world by focusing on an internal spiritual life, spiritual reality. You go inward to live outwardly. Okay? If you give your focus and attention to your spirit, if you come into the moment and live in the moment presently, if you begin to see what God sees, if you begin to affirm what God affirms, if you begin to believe the things God believes, then internally in your spirit, where you've brought your attention, those things in time, the universe, if you will, that God's created, will respond to that, which is in Christ. And it will in time manifest itself in the outer world, this world of particles, if you will, of mass, of form. That's how it works. And the double slit experiment makes this clear. You see that? So where you place your focus and attention impacts the final outcome. This is the spiritual lesson of the double slit experiment. The entire universe awaits your attention and focus so that in concert with the Spirit of Christ, who is one with your spirit, you may fulfill all you were created to experience and enjoy. This simply comes from Ephesians 2:10. This is the ideal. Where are you going to place your focus? Where do you place your attention? Where are you going to live, outwardly or inwardly? If you're going to thrive, you're going to go inward. If you're going to try to do it through self-effort, you're going to look outwardly, because that's where most Christians live. That's where most people live. That's where people generally live. They look at their circumstances. They look at what people do. They look at what people say, constantly looking outward rather than going inward to spirit, bringing everything to their union in the divine life. That's really where we should be living. Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, if I were to rephrase that a little bit for our day and age, this is how I would say it. Faith is the substance of things that you are confidently assured of, the evidence of things physically not seen. Okay? In other words, these things are physical now, though they cannot be seen in material form. Do you see how that's a quantum statement? Because in God's economy, those things already exist as though they're matter. They have mass. But in the where we're living, we can't see them or feel them or touch them. Why? Because it requires our observation. It requires our focus, our attention. Where do you place it? You see, faith is seeing something as substance, being confidently assured of it as substance, though you cannot see it. You see it as evidence, as though it already is, though you cannot touch it. But you live, what? As if. You live as if. We're going to talk a lot about that. You bring everything to the present tense. That's faith. Faith isn't trying to get, you know, God to do something because you have faith. Faith is seeing that God has already done it, that God has already seen it and has already declared it. And all you're doing is bringing it into the present moment and saying, thank you. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful it's done. It's hard to do that because we feel silly, but that's how Paul lived his life. It's how Jesus lived his life. And it's how we're to live. But most of us have been told to say some long prayer, telling God everything that we need and tell him, I'm going to trust you, you know, and strengthen my faith. No, that is not how we're told to live. Here's a statement from Manly Beasley. It goes like this. Faith is believing those things that are not as though they were, because with God they are. And that's all faith is seeing the unseen as seen, because with God it is seen. Let's say that again. It is seeing the unseen as seen, because with God it is seen. Does that make sense? It's acting as though you already have it, because you already have it, because with God you have it. what we want to do is we want to sit there and pray and pray and pray until it comes together, and then thank God and try to, you know, act like we've got faith and God will respond to my faith. No, whatever it is, you already have it. If it's been given to you by spirit and not your ego, not your flesh, if God's through your spirit and your union with the divine life has shown you this in your spiritual intuition, then you already have it. It's already yours. And it's just a matter of saying thank you, feelings of gratitude, seeing it in the scene and saying thank you. When and where is none of our business. How? That's none of my business. I leave that to God. It could be years from now. I don't know. It could be a few days from now. That's none of our business. Ours is to bring it to the moment, say thank you, and act as if I already have it, because I do. You see, believing those things that are not as though they were, because with God, they are. This is the thing that makes the difference, is your observation. Where do you place your focus? Here's what I found. Most people place their focus on the negative. They place their focus on their problems. They place their focus on the things they don't like, the things that they want to change. The more you focus yourself on things you want to change, the less they'll change. The universe has been created to act as a mirror. Think of a mirror. When you get in front of a mirror, it's just going to give you back what it sees. That's how the universe works, and that's the lesson of the double slit experiment. Jesus said this, give and what? It shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing. Wow. Do you see that statement there? Whatever you mirror to the universe, to God's creation in Christ, is going to be mirrored back to you. What we have done is we have tried to manipulate God. We've given him our list. We've begged. We've cried out. We've acted as though, you know, this impossible situation, how is this ever going to get taken care of? Everything happens to me. This is where we a lot of times live. And instead of living as though we already have it, because we have seen it in our spiritual intuition, we know it already exists. It's real. Thank you that I have it. Thank you that it's mine. A good illustration of this is when Jesus fed the 5,000, and he asked the disciples, how are we going to feed these people? And I think it was Philip who said, listen, you know, a whole day's wages wouldn't feed all this, or a month's wages. And he said, listen, we don't have the money for that. And then someone said, well, there's basket, I got a kid here with some fish and some barley loaves, but man, what is that among so many people? But that's all we got. You know, that's all we can do. It's just like most believers live their lives. Well, we looked at the money account. I don't have it, so I'm not real sure what I'm going to do. Well, we got this, but that's not enough. So I guess we're not going to be able to do that. You know what? If that's what you give the universe, that's what it'll give you back. I'll guarantee it. If you tell the universe, if you tell that is in Christ consciousness, this is all I got, that's all you're going to get. This is all I can do. That's all you can do. Okay? It's going to mirror back not what you want. It's going to mirror back who you are. You get that? That's the lesson of the double slit experiment. Where you place your focus, your attention, what you say, what you feel, that's what you're going to get. And that's the lesson of the double slit experiment. It's very important. Why? Because amazing things happen when we give our thoughts, intentions, and emotions to live in the reality of who we are in the divine life, who we are in Christ, who we are this moment, bringing everything into the moment and realizing that within me, I have everything I need. I lack nothing. I don't lack a thing. I have all that I need. You know, it's interesting. Jesus never walked around poor mouthing. He never walked around going, well, I don't know how I'm going to heal those people. He didn't go around going, well, I'm not sure how we're going to eat tonight. That wasn't Jesus. He said, listen, I listen to everything my Father says. Whatever I see my Father do, that's what I do. I know where I came from. I know where I'm going. Why? He was totally associated with his union in the divine life. He knew who he was. He knew what he was there for. And he knew where he was going. Do we? Do you really realize the powerful spiritual being you are this moment? Do you? Do you live in that reality? Do you realize that everything is yours right now in your union in Christ Jesus? You have what you need. The problem is you won't bring it to the moment. You won't bring it to the present moment and say, thank you. I'm so happy I've got it. I'm so glad you've given this to me. Thank you so much. Thank you for what you've done. I began to learn this lesson a few years back. It was really hard for me to do it because I felt silly a little bit. I used to start saying, hey, I'm so grateful that, you know, all this money comes into me every day to the ministry, to what we're doing. I'm so grateful that I have all these people involved in what we're doing. I'm so grateful God brings me clients to the ministry. I'm so grateful I have opportunities to share. I'm so grateful that I have amazing health. One of the things I do is I just say, I'm so grateful today that every cell in my body is healthy. It's just amazing how healthy I am. I'm so grateful that my body is healthy. So grateful for that. It's just amazing. it's amazing how my neurological system is healthy. You know, I've had a neurological issue. So every day I just say, hey, I'm so grateful that, man, my neurons, all of them are healthy. It's just amazing. This is how we were intended to live our life, to live in the present moment as if, because it is, okay? It's the way Jesus lived. It's the way Paul lived. I mean, think about the Apostle Paul when he was on the ship and they were taking him to Caesar. And so they were on a ship going across the Mediterranean to go to Rome. And they had run into some bad storms. And Paul had warned them, don't do this. Stay here in Crete and don't leave. And they left anyways, and because they were in a hurry. And they wanted to get to Rome as soon as possible. And so Paul says, listen, guys, you should have listened to me when I told you not to leave. But an angel of the Lord, to whom I serve, has been standing by me and has told me that nobody's going to lose their lives. We're all going to survive. The ship is going to be lost. All the food is going to be lost. All the cargo is going to be lost, but nobody's going to die, and everything's going to be okay. You're all going to make it. So I just want you to know that's the case. You see how he lived in the present moment. You see how he brought everything to the moment. You see how he saw it, he owned it, and he thanked God for it. Can you imagine the eyes that were rolling? Just like, oh my God, what is this? Here he goes again. And yet everything that Paul said came about. The ship was lost. The cargo was lost. All the food was lost. But you know what? Everyone made it to the shore alive. Now, isn't it better to live as though it's already done? Why wait till it's done? You were built. The universe was made to live seeing it done, completed. You've got it. And it will mirror that back to you. Paul declared it, and didn't just declare it, he declared it to hundreds of people there. And then he got it. And it happened, probably not in the way he thought. That's another thing. It doesn't happen the way you think. It never will. It never just comes the way you want it, in the time you want it. You can't control it. And this is the biggest thing I'm going to leave you with. You have to release control. You can't control it. You can't control it. It's the worst thing really for you anyways. Why not release control? Say, God, whenever this comes about in physical form, I'm leaving with you, but I'm so grateful it's done. You know, God, I don't know how or who this is going to come through, but I'm so grateful it's done. I don't know the way it's going to be done, but I'm so grateful it's done. I'm so grateful. Man, I've had to do this for things like cars, for health, for money, for friendships, for support, for all kinds of things, for understanding my life in Christ, coming into a better understanding of grace, realizing who I was as a spiritual being, just on and on and on and on and on. And I promise you this, you and I are co-laborers with Christ. We are co-creators with him. And the double slit experiment agrees with that. Where I place my focus, my attention will determine my outcomes. It is the reality of the outcome I will get. What I want to leave with you is this. You don't have to try and work anything up. You can live in the reality of all that you are already in the divine life, in the oneness you have in Christ as a powerful spiritual being, and begin to place your focus inwardly to your spirit. And as you do, begin to see God manifest these things into the world. Rather than us trying to make it work, they just begin to come to us. And we begin to participate in the divine plan in ways we never thought possible. Thank you.